You didn't know I'm a nice surprise, did you? Good morning, fellow brethren. Those who do not know me, I'm Kani. I'm one of your own. Pastor John asked me to preach this morning. This happened a few weeks ago. And I was thinking and thinking. Then I decided maybe I should find a topic then. In the end, I found this one, seeing Christ through the grain. But then I started looking at it. Then I realized you can't separate the grain from the wine and the oil. The three of them, they do come together. For you to have a perfect meal, you need the three of them. The grain, that's for the energy. The wine, so you feel good. And the oil, just to make everything do what it's supposed to do for completeness. However, today I'm going to concentrate on the grain. But by the end of the sermon, hopefully we should be seeing Christ through the grain. To kick off, we are going to start off by whinging. Everybody likes whinging. I didn't know in this country you can whinge about almost anything. That's just one of them, John. They could look at anything and they could just whinge. They could go on, you can go on a queue and there are only two people on there and you can start to whinge. You can make a lot out of it. It's just called whinging. But on this occasion, it's whinging in the desert. The Israelites had been taken out of bondage, out of Egypt. As soon as they got into the desert, whatever few supplies they had, they'd run out. Oh, didn't they start whinging? Oh, if we were in Egypt, oh, we'll be having meat by now. Oh, if we were in Egypt, we'll be full now. Look, we want to kill us now. Why did you even thought of asking God to take us from Egypt? And what did God say? In Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. So what did God provide for them? Grain. I like it when you are speaking to me. If the answer comes up, speak to me. God replied through Moses and he said, I'm going to rain some bread. Every morning they were going to pick some bread in the form of manna. So they whinged and more whinging until Moses couldn't take anymore. And God said, I've got the answer. I'm going to give you the bread. And now, let's look at the message given to the prophet Joel. This is a prophetic message of things that were to come. So, we're still whinging, by the way. So, in Joel chapter 1, verse 4. This is quite serious stuff. What the locust swarm has left, the great locusts have eaten. What the great locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. What the young locusts have left, the other locusts have eaten. Meaning there was nothing left. Absolutely nothing will be left. If you have seen a swarm of locusts and how they move. I don't think any one of you would have seen that. Okay. I will try to explain how a swarm of locusts move. Okay. They move in waves. So it's a saltatory movement. So they jump. And then if they have time, they'll eat there. The ones which are behind, they'll jump over them and they go. So by the time the whole swarm goes past, there is almost nothing left. And what does that tell you? It will be a big famine. Nothing is going to be left. People will suffer. They will really suffer because there is nothing left. And if you think if there is anything that eats vegetation, that means there is no animal that is going to survive either. There is no life that is going to exist. So you would expect more whinging. And this time it is real. What makes it real is because there is nothing to eat. People will be very hungry, okay? This is what we call what the locusts have eaten. The others have come behind them and they've eaten it as well. So even the stalk at the bottom of a plant, it will be gone. It will be gone. Now, in Exodus chapter 16, we got the answer. What did God rain? Bread. And in Joel chapter 2, verse 19, here is the answer. I'll start from verse 18. The Lord's answer. Then the Lord will be jealous for his land and take pity on his people. The Lord will reply to them, I am sending you grain, new wine, and oil. So from massive starvation, God is saying, I'm sending you grain, new wine, and oil, the perfect meal. So you've got everything you need there. So there's going to be some gladness. There's going to, if you think the grain, you've got some fullness in there. Your stomach is going to be stretched. You feel full. You've had your fill. That's what they say. And then the new wine, the gladness, the Lord that gladdens, and the new oil. Okay. So, in Exodus, he's raining manna. What is manna? It's bread. In Joel chapter 2, what is he giving? Grain. And what did you get out of grain? You get bread. Okay. Now, imagine the Israelites getting into the promised land. They are coming from where they are coming from. So they are coming from oppression. And then when they get into the promised land, what are they getting? Freedom. They're coming from bondage. What are they getting? Freedom. They're carrying yokes in Egypt. Yokes of slavery. But what are they getting in the promised land? Freedom. And compare that to a new Christian life. It's very similar. You're coming from bondage into freedom. You're carrying a yoke. But God is breaking that yoke. You are a slave to sin. But God is saying, no, no more. You are my child now. When Israelites were entering into Canaan, they were given manna. And once they got in there, did they continue to get the manna? No. The Bible says on the morrow, when they entered, it ceased to rain manna. And what did they get instead? The Bible says they got old grain. So they started to feed on something that is old, something that is matured, the grain. So if you think of a young Christian, somebody who has just been served, you're giving them milk. You keep on giving them milk. You give them milk. But then it comes a time when you have to give solid food. These people, they have been having, let's say, baby corn, but it's manna. It was enough to sustain them in the desert. But they had their chance to have old grain, that which had matured. from early rains through to later rains, God has been raining on it. It was there for them so they can have life. Okay. This does not come without conditions. There is always going to be conditions. The Israelites, they had conditions. As Christians, we do have conditions. If we are to continue to feed on this manna, to feed on this bread, there are still some conditions. So if we go to Deuteronomy chapter 11, let's start from verse 13. This is one of my favorite verses. So if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I'll send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your new wine and oil, the perfect meal. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you eat, and you will be satisfied. Those are the conditions. There is always going to be bread. There is always going to be grain. But within the conditions, to love your God with all your heart and with everything you have, then there's going to be some grain. And once you've got some grain, I've got a few people who are very good at baking. They are very good at making the bread as well. I'm not looking at you, John. You have the grain and you have the bread and you will be satisfied. Not just you, even your family will be satisfied. With the new Christian, you come into the presence of God. You say, I'm yours now, Lord. And Jesus says, come, you are mine. And what does he say? He says, he's the bread of life. What does that come with? It comes with the promise of eternal life. Yeah. Comes with the promise of life. You've come out of that bondage. You've come out of that slavery. You know, some people are surviving, but literally they are dead. Then you come into this new life where you've got hope. There is a reason to live. Your bread will be provided. This is a tricky question. I was thinking, should I put this in or not? Why bread? And not gari or pounded yam. Because of my Nigerian friends, they like their pounded yam. So I thought, I might as well throw it in. Why? Why gari? Why not gari? Why not pounded yam? Oh, and why not spuds for my English friends? Because it's very rare if you go to an English friend's house and you prepare their meal, there is no spud. They might tell you, oh, I've done roasted potatoes. They are still spuds. They will tell you, I've done mush today for you. It's still spuds. Oh, Kani, these are lovely wedges. Still spuds. So, spuds. So they tell you, it's still spuds. Why bread and not spuds and not gari or pounded yam? Christian, you're looking at me. Yeah, it's not mentioned. Gari is not in the Bible. Corn is in the Bible. Okay? Grain is in the Bible. This is the reason why. My friends, bread is one of the basics of life. In every culture, bread is a staple diet. You find bread everywhere. Even in the most primitive societies you might want to think of, they will be baking bread on stone on hot stone, and it still come out nice, and to them they will enjoy that bread. Bread is one of the basics of life in every culture. If you do want to be a Christian, having that bread of life is one of the basics of life. You really need the living bread, the bread that comes from the Father, the bread that comes from heaven. This is the reason why the Bible doesn't talk about any other cereal. They'll say the bread, the grain, because everybody needs it for energy. Okay? I am the bread of life. This is one of the declarations of Jesus. There are only 7 declarations which Jesus made, where he said, I am the bread of life. Okay? This was the first one. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. John 6, verse 35. He didn't say sport or Gary. He is the bread of life because it is the basics of every Christian. I thought, whilst I'm here, I might as well mention the other 6 I ams. Okay? I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. 7 great I ams. He declared them himself because he knew exactly what he was. He was, and he is the bread of life. Now, let's see what happens when he fed the multitudes with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. When you've had your grain, you feel happy, you feel good, you feel satisfied. You can feel like you can conquer anything. You can get into a race because you feel really good. But sometimes if you miss the point, they got their fill, but they missed the point. They continued to follow him, not for him as the bread of life, but they wanted to be fed more. They wanted more bread. They wanted more of the 2 fish. They wanted more of maybe the leftovers. They were thinking of, there were 12 baskets. We saw them. They filled the extra 12 baskets. Where are they? We don't know where they put the extra, do we? So they continued to follow. And at one point, Jesus said, you are following me not because of the bread of life. I tell you the truth, whoever eats this bread of life will not hunger no more. But I think they were thinking, we've just been fed. So they keep on following. They missed the point that Jesus was the bread of life. John 6, verse 35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Remember I said I'm concentrating on the grain, but there are, again, there is a sign that of a perfect meal. Okay. And let's move to same chapter, verse 51, and let's see what he says. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I'll give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply amongst themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? It's starting to go wrong. They've missed the point. And when you've missed the point, that's when you realize, you start to think, you start to question, And the devil will start to exploit it. And then the devil started to say, really? Are you going to eat the flesh of this man? Do you really think he is the bread of life? Do you really think he's going to satisfy all your needs? No. Do you really think, as the Lord actually said, do you really think this man is from heaven? Because Jesus was claiming, I am the bread that came from heaven. And what did they do, some of them? In verse 66. From this time, many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed him. How sad it is when you realize that the perfect meal you've been provided, you've decided it's not the right thing for you. How sad after so much sacrifice, because this grain has come with a lot of sacrifice, then you think, this is not for me. This is not right. They turned around and they stopped, followed Jesus. And he turned around and said, are you also going to leave me? And a prophetic message came from Peter. No. Where else can we go? You have got the words of eternal life. He is who he is. He is the bread of life. Why did they turn back? Because of unbelief. Why should you stay in the bread? Why should you continue eating the bread? How can you stay in and follow? Just believe. He is the bread of life. It is written, it's there. And all scripture points to him as the bread of life. He is the ultimate bread of life. He is the word of God. He is the ultimate bread of life. Okay. On the road to Emmaus, Luke 24, verse 30, they walked with him. Are you the only one who doesn't know? How come? Oh, that whinging again. Are you the only one in Jerusalem who doesn't know what has happened? Then he tells them the scriptures. Have you not heard? This is what was supposed to happen. When he was at the table with them, he took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then what happened? Their eyes were opened. They realized he is the bread of life. He is the Messiah. The one who had been spoken of. And on the Last Supper, same thing happened. He broke the bread and he gave it to them. Do this in memory of me, in remembrance of me. Why? Because of the significance of the bread of life. Because of what he declared earlier on, that I am the bread of life. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been saying, do it. He could have said, do other things in remembrance of me. But breaking of bread, his body being broken, his body being crushed, this has got some resemblance to the grain. If you start to see Christ through the grain, if you want to make perfect bread, you crush the wheat, you crush the barley. And this is exactly the same thing. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was pierced so we could have life. Now, this is when we start to say, Jesus Christ is the bread of life. How can we stay with the bread of life? Just believe. Mark chapter 5, verse 36. Remember, it was the Word that became flesh. He was in the Word. The Word was with God. And He was the Word. We need to be feeding on the Word to understand this bread of life. Jesus is the Word. Feed on the Word. He is the bread of life. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. There is the resemblance with the grain, the bread of life. He is the perfect bread that came from heaven so that man can be reconciled with God. God Himself was revealed through Him. And we have seen His glory. And that glory extends from everlasting to everlasting. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray unto your God that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. We thank you for this bread that can satisfy our soul, the ultimate and perfect sacrifice that you have sent unto us so we could be reconciled with you. You are God, our Father. You know our needs. You know the needs of the church. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you shall satisfy our needs in a way that is perfect to you, in a way that you have planned. When Jesus was praying to his disciples, he said, I pray that we keep them together. Father, I pray this morning that you continue to keep us as one, recognizing one another's strengths, breaking and sharing the bread of life together cheerfully, recognizing that this bread, it came from you. It was the perfect living bread for us to eat, so we will hunger no more. We thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.